But before we get into all that, what did you do for Valentine's Day?
Nothing. I went on a hike. I actually went hiking at the one place that me and you went hiking and got lost.
How do you get lost there?
Okay, well, we did get lost. I thought that we were lost, and I was freaking out, remember? Remember when we went on that hike? We literally actually came up for the name of our podcast on that hike. Well, we changed the name. We decided to change the name.
Yeah, originally, can you imagine? It was going to be My Medical Mystery. How not
gay. I was going to say. Not in that way.
In the other way. The appropriate way. All right.
Are we ready to hop up in this thing?
We're ready. What are they listening to?
Oh, you are listening to It's a Sickness podcast.
A podcast where two friends geek out over all things perplexing in medicine, science, and health.
I am Nicole.
And I am Lila.
Catch us on Twitter, Instagram. Just look up at It's a Sickness _. And then press follow. You can catch our sources, visuals, memes, and other pod-related content on there.
Period. Also, did you know that you could be notified when It's a Sickness releases an episode? You know that you want to hear from us every day. But at this point, you're limited to Tuesdays at 6 a.m. All you got to do is subscribe and adjust your notification settings so you won't miss out on this year's sickness. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else. And if we're not, let us know and Nicole will do something about it.
And nothing will be ever done about it.
And it'll just sit there not to do this. Never to be.
It'll just keep going to the bottom of our to-do list. Okay, so you may find today's episode as a little bit of a palate cleanser from all the corny love stuff in the previous episode, or you may not find this cleansing at all and possibly quite disgusting, but either way, we find it fascinating. We are discussing the fairly new medical procedure of how transplanting the bowels, poop included, of a healthy individual into a sick patient saves them from the horrors of explosive diarrhea, dehydration, and intense gastrointestinal suffering.
That was a mouthful. Yes. That was a whole fucking package in it of itself. It is a sickness. It's all I have to say about this episode today. And the universe kind of led us here. I know that we talked about it, I think, in our first episode about Simba's shit shows. This has happened twice now.
I have PTSD for a bit.
Literally,
Lila fucking threw up literally while he was pooping.
I took him out because I was like, oh, like, you know, better, whatever, for him to do, whatever. I didn't think he was going to have a whole, it wasn't even seeing it. It was the smell.
No, it was horrifying. It's like we used to record like based on the cycles of the moon. And now we just record based on Simba's bowel fucking movements.
I dead ass turned around and in the corner of like where Nicole lives, I fucking threw up and there was like this couple walking towards me. I was like, I'm not picking this up. I'm walking away.
She ran back into my house with like bloodshot red fucking eyes. It was like, I just threw up. Simba just shitted blood. If you're new here, Simba is my dog.
Oh, it's not your 5-year-old child, like a human being.
Yeah. Simba is my 8-year-old dog who is usually perfect in every aspect besides this.
Yeah, it was a literal shit show. And so now we're actually going to be talking about shit and how it's actually going to save some people's lives and how it has and how this is all a good thing.
Everything is coming full circle.
It's all connected. Okay. We'll be right back.
After the short break.
Welcome back, and now it's over, and we'll see you next week.
and now it's over.
I was not going to drink tonight, and apparently Nicole isn't drinking.
I am binge eating Valentine's Day chocolates, though, that I purchased for myself.
Yeah, that's a substance.
Yeah, I'll just be fucking high on sugar.
Yeah, abusing that. I was not going to drink because I have a big exam tomorrow. I'm like really excited that I get to walk into campus. How this is quarantine.
Wow.
No, okay.
You should get all dressed up and do your makeup.
I am.
Oh, yes. First day of school outfit?
Literally, yes. I have the whole week actually planned out, even though I'm only going 2 days. But
the whole week.
No, my guidance counselor really just screwed me because I said, I don't want to take a lab class until we're actually back in lab. And he was like, oh, no, yeah, like for spring semester, like. No, it's not the same. Like, yes, I get to go in, but we had to wait until week four, and then we're only going to go in one of the 2 days for half the time. So it's just still an adjustment.
Okay, but also – that's kind of cool because I used to hate how long lab courses were anyways. So the fact that they could, yeah, like a 3 hour lab is like, okay, kill me, please.
I like it. Like in my biotech classes that I've taken, I like dedicating 1 day to lecture and then a full 3 hours in lab. Because of this exam, I wasn't going to drink, still decided to, chose beer so that I can sip instead of get crazy, but still got 2 bottles. So we're going to see how it is for me at the end of this episode.
Oh, good God. And you're going second. Okay. Are we ready? Are we ready to hear some shit? Some literal shit?
Literally. Let's go.
Oh, okay. Okay. For real. Okay. So before we get into the poo of this, we're going to get into or talk about briefly this crazy ass disease called Clostridium difficile, often called C. diff, which is a bacteria that causes, you guessed it, severe diarrhea and colitis or inflammation of the colon. So C. diff or Clostridium difficile is the name of the actual bacteria. It is present naturally in nature, and
it just exists. It could come to my house.
It's prevalent
in porta potties. It's prevalent in porta potties.
It's prevalent in literally everywhere. This bacteria is a spore forming bacteria, which are my favorite types of bacteria. They contribute to why the spores inside of them contribute to why they're so gnarly and so devastating in the body. And as we'll come to see, so extremely difficult to get rid of and fight off. So these spores are activated when the bacterial cell is in a place where it's lacking nutrients. And then it basically kicks into action and serves to like essentially preserve the life of the bacteria. So basically, they're lying dormant inside of these bacteria, kind of similar to fungal spores, which is why fungus and mold is so difficult to get rid of. These bacteria contain spores similar to that inside of them, which only become active if they are basically about to die. So it's like a last line of defense for these bacterial cells. So the spores are heat resistant and not killed by alcohol-based cleansers or routine surface cleaning. They're extremely hard to get rid of or kill off. So how does one get C. diff? So no one is safe from C. diff. It can affect literally anyone. Most cases occur from prolonged usage of antibiotics or shortly after the use of an antibiotic. So some risk factors associated with this is the family of antibiotics called clindamycins. They are used to treat just about everything from bone, joint, pelvic, inflammatory, strep throat, pneumonia. So it's like these clindamycins like are used to treat basically everything. It's kind of like how we used to use like penicillin just to treat everything. Now they're using clindamycins.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So strep throat, pneumonia, ear infections, just to name a few. People are usually infected in hospitals or nursing homes, although infections outside of these environments are steadily increasing. So we're starting to see this disease way more than we ever used to outside of areas where most infections occur, like nursing homes and hospitals. And it was typically seen mostly in elderly people, so senior citizens over 65, and now we're starting to see it way more in a younger population. So C. diff proves to be pathogenic because it produces multiple toxins, both of which are thought to produce diarrhea and inflammation of the colon. One of these toxins is enterotoxin, which they label toxin A. The second is cytotoxin, which is labeled toxin B. So this is similar to, very similar to STEC or sugar toxin producing E. coli, which is the E. coli that makes you extremely sick that most people are worried about when they talk about E. coli outbreaks. It's the specific type of E. coli that has these spores that can produce these toxins. Mm-hmm. So similar. And STEC is steadily increasing and becoming what like is labeled a superbug, and C. diff is also becoming what is labeled a superbug as well, which supports why we're starting to see it in a younger population. We're talking about basically an antibiotic resistant bacteria. Mm-hmm. Scary as fuck. So 2-5% of the population naturally carry C. diff. So it could technically be contagious, but it's rare because so getting it from another person is rare because it's transferred or has to be transferred via the fecal oral route.
So it's kind of like when you get pink eye, it's because of
poop in your eye.
Yeah. So for this, it's like poop in your mouth.
Poop in your mouth. mouth to butthole interaction. So everyone stop eating ass. If y'all do come close to me, he gon' wanna ride off and it goes for me. If you ever needed more of a reason to not sexually explore someone's butthole.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. But if that's your thing, gotta eat the booty like groceries. Do that. Just know this could happen to you. You're putting yourself at risk.
So are you saying that you can in fact eat ass and not get
Yes. No, it's rare. It's rare for it to be contagious, like transferred via person, because the only way to really get it is having poop in your mouth.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Wait, you can literally prevent this by not eating ass. There. That's what you're saying.
Yes, you can save yourself by not eating ass, is what I'm saying. Also, though. Okay, so once these spores are ingested, these poop spores. Not the poop spores, the bacteria. Once they're ingested, their acid resistance allows them to pass through the stomach completely unharmed. In fact, they thrive germinating and multiplying in the colon. So, like, they're loving the fact that they're trying to get killed off, essentially. And they're thriving. They're like, oh, you thought you saw the last of me? Don't ever underestimate me.
Yeah, because you said earlier, so they literally aren't like dangerous until the last like second of their life, basically.
Yeah,
so that's why they're like, I don't give a fuck, like,
right?
Okay.
It's like the bacteria and the spore are like separate from each other. The spore is just lying like dormant inside the bacteria and only really kicks in as like a very last survival mode. It's like the evil that you have like inside of you that's only awakened by whatever you're trigger is.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's that. Okay, so levels of severity, this is, as you can imagine, kind of starts off with significant amount of diarrhea.
Like how much?
like to the point where you may die of dehydration.
Oh my god, I've never.
And people in fact die of this disease all the time. And then, of course, you can have a fever. But the most distinctive of this is this foul odor of your shit smelling like horse shit.
Okay, did Simba have this? Possibly?
I was thinking that. But
oh my God, maybe that's why we're here today.
No, because I haven't given him any antibiotics in a long time, like years. Also, his shit smelled way worse than horse shit.
Yeah.
So that's disgusting and very unfortunate.
Disgusting.
So this is diagnosed via a colonoscopy, so literally sticking a camera up your butt, or a cytotoxicity assay to try to catch those toxins that the spores produce that I mentioned earlier. And then, of course, my favorite and my career performing PCR, polymerase chain reaction, to genetically identify the presence of this bacteria. So treatment. This is most commonly treated with vancomycin. So it's basically a disease caused by taking a shit ton or triggered by taking antibiotics. And then they treat it with more antibiotics, which during my research, this is just, it's just stupid and really harmful. And it seems like they're trying to get away from that because it just really just doesn't work. Also probiotics, which we should all just be taking anyways.
Yeah, that is the one we were just saying last time about supplemental.
Yeah. I really need to find a good probiotic though. And I can't find one. So if anyone has any recommendations, send them. I always see ads on Instagram, and I'm sure I'll see even more now on like these like probiotics for like your vagina and like all this stuff.
Okay.
Anyways. So using vancomycin, treating this with more antibiotics usually causes a recurrent infection. So some people, when I wrote these notes, I wrote these a bit ago, but the more research that I did on it, I would say this is kind of outdated. Some people get C. diff over and over again. I would say most people get it over and over again. 20% of these will get it again in the following 2 to 8 weeks of being treated with the vancomycin. So that's 1 out of 5 people will get this again after being treated with the antibiotic. To me, it sounds like the antibiotic doesn't fucking work. So stop using it as a treatment. So if you keep getting this over and over again, it is time for a
poop transplant.
That's right. That's right. A fecal transplant, stool transplant, poop transplant, whatever.
Shit transplant. It's a shitness.
It's a shitness. Changing the name of our podcast to It's a Shitness.
Yeah, I was like shitness or shit mess. Either work, but.
Oh, either work. Yeah. I like them both equally. Okay. Which brings me to, I'm going to tell a short little story of a real life person that was battling with this disease. Okay, so Christina Furman was hospitalized due to severe diarrhea about 3 months before her wedding in 2012. Quote, "The day I started feeling sick, I hosted a bachelorette party for my best friend. We were on a boat trip, and I was tired of going to the bathroom a lot. It progressed from having frequent large bowel movements to me quickly becoming so ill that I was decimating parts of my intestines."
Oh, my God. Okay, this is, like, serious.
When I read that, I had to read it, like, 3 times. I was like, I'm sorry. Did she just say that she was shitting out her intestines?
Jesus.
Is that what she just said?
That's what she just said. Oh, my God. Yes.
So that's horrifying. I didn't know that that was a thing.
I didn't either.
I don't wish that on my worst enemy.
I might wish it on my worst enemy.
Actually, never mind. There's some people.
There's a couple people I'd want.
Okay. So during her first visit with her primary care doctor, Christina was told that she most likely had a virus that would go away in a few days. A bug. She got a bug. You caught a bug.
You're just under the weather and your butthole's fine.
You're right. You're just under the weather. You just ate something bad. Yeah. However, as she experienced increased pain and more frequent diarrhea over the course of a few weeks, her doctor recommended that she visit the emergency room. Mm-hmm. Wait, why would he do that? Isn't that his literal job? Is that a thing?
So an ER doctor told her that...
No, her primary care doctor told her that she should go to the ER.
Oh.
Maybe they were just on like a phone call or something.
If it's something like, I don't know what the practice was, but like maybe...
Maybe like he was like a holistic doctor, like a DO and...
Yeah, or whatever, something urgent.
Yeah. Okay, that probably happens all the time. I don't know why I found that to be an odd sentence. That,
calm down.
Everything, I'm like, no. How can I calm down? She's shitty on her dentist. I can't calm down.
Why are you going to send me to another doctor? Just because they have better nerve equipment.
Okay. So at the hospital, she received a diagnosis of Clostridium difficile, C. diff. Quote, C. diff used to be a disease that affected old people, so it wasn't the first thing doctors thought of with me. In fact, at the hospital, they tested me for cholera before thinking of C. diff.
Oh, wow. And that's more rare for sure.
It's so rare. It's like lightweight, not a thing anymore, at least in a first world country.
Yeah.
After her diagnosis, she was hospitalized for 4 days and treated with an antibiotic. However, 2 days after the course of her antibiotics were done, the C. diff returned. 2 days after.
Can you imagine getting over like crazy ass diarrhea and then like being like, oh, no fucking.
2 days later, it's back.
2 days later, you're shitting your pants out again.
Yeah. So.
Oh, crap. Literally.
Oh, crap. Literally. Yeah, so obviously that wasn't working. That didn't work. So that right there is just highlighting the fact that this bacteria is clearly resistant to not only this antibiotic, but probably a lot of others. She was then put on antibiotics off and on for another 7 months, and as soon as she would go off of them, it would come back raging. She was put on gut rest for 5 days at a time, which meant she couldn't eat food or drink any water. She received nutrients and liquid via an IV. This is fucking horrible. Quote, I was hospitalized 6 times for at least a week each time, and I had to go into the GI doctor and get fluids when I wasn't in the hospital because I was so dehydrated. She barely made it to her wedding and spent her honeymoon in isolation.
I'm sorry, that's not funny.
It's horrid.
That is horrid. I would have been like, no, you're going to marry me later when I'm
well. Imagine walking down the aisle like in your white dress and all you can think about is like, please, 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 please don't crap myself like in front of all these people.
Yeah, I've never had like diarrhea like that. I've never been ill like that. But
one time when I was like 5 in kindergarten, I pooped my pants in front of the whole class. I will never forget it.
I guess since you were 5, it's fine, but...
Yeah, that's where I learned the difference between... That's where I learned what a shart was. Okay, moving on. I was 5 years old, okay? I never did it again.
Oh my god, okay.
I don't know. I know some girls that, like, get drunk and, like, shit themselves while they're sleeping.
Oh my god, why do I feel like you've told me?
I know some adult women that have done that.
I can't imagine shitting. Wait, why am I remembering? Was it like a Love and Hip Hop show? Oh my god, no. Was this at D30? Or what club was
this? Oh my god, no. No, chicks used to shit themselves at D30 all the fucking time. My ex-boyfriend from high school, his little sister... She shit herself in the club one time.
How do you do that?
And it was like on the floor.
I'm disgusted and I'm appalled.
I'm so sorry. I can't do this.
and I digressed from here.
I'm not sure if any of that's going to make it into the episode. Now, moving forward. where am I at here? Okay. So, yeah, she barely made it to her wedding, spent her honeymoon alone. Her husband, in fact, didn't show up to her wedding. I'm just kidding.
He was like, you still want to get married? He's trying to find every way out. He fucking gave her decent, what a C diff.
What did you just call?
D siff.
I can't.
C diff.
Tomato, tomato.
Same thing.
Quote, I was so excited to get married and wanted to feel beautiful, but instead I was having this degrading, cruel sickness. I was spending so much time in the hospital that I had to order my veil and earrings from the hospital bed. Shopping for a dress was extremely difficult because I was so weak.
I just wouldn't be shit pissing myself struggling like that looking for a...
Cancel the fucking wedding.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Postpone it. Everybody rebuy your fucking plane tickets for next year.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
there's no excuse.
Okay.
Her guests were like, like.
Okay, so basically, C. diff can be a part of your intestines throughout your life without causing you any trouble. Like I said, you can have it naturally, but if it happens to get a chance to grow, such in the case of a low diversity or low, like, concentration of your, like, normal bacterial flora in your intestines, then that's when you start running into trouble. So if the type of C. diff happens to also be antibiotic resistant, then you're going to be in for
a long ride.
A shitty experience. And a long ride, yes.
Ew.
So it's like the balance of bacteria and other organisms inside the colon basically determine whether the C. diff will cause problems for you or huge problems for you or not. So if C. diff is exposed to the colon of a person who just had broad spectrum antibiotics, the local bacteria are markedly diminished and C. diff can take off and make toxins and cause infection. But if a person has a healthy balance of bacteria, if their gut microbiome is healthy and normal bacteria are present, then the C. diff does not get the chance to colonize. It's essentially just like outcompeted by your normal flora. Mm-hmm. And it's only when it's like, it's like,
so it's you, like, could be exposed to it, but if your basically microbiome is
healthy and thriving, then you're good.
Okay. Okay. Oops. So this
Simba's making his entrance.
He's like, I had another thing.
He's like, I had another thing.
I did not have
C. diff. I did not.
No, no more. That's enough. Go lay down in your bed.
Yeah, so it just wants to exist at a certain level and is totally fine existing at a certain level, but once it's like, it's almost like once someone tries to come and like kill it or it has like room to grow, it's like, oh no.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so Christina believes that she was susceptible to infection because she was taking antibiotics prescribed to her by her dentist. Quote, I started having symptoms of C. diff a week after I took the antibiotics following my dental work. I was the typical American antibiotic user. My doctor would give me an antibiotic just in case and I'd take them. I'm definitely guilty of doing this.
Yeah, I know. You used to have them all the time. Not all the time, but yeah.
Antibiotics?
Yeah. Or just like that was like a quick.
Oh, which, yeah.
I mean, most of America, I feel like, does that because that's exactly what doctors do is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I have this. Give me the fucking antibiotic. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that literally anyone could get this. So shortly after Christina's wedding, she underwent a fecal transplantation. Christina says that the fecal transplant allowed her to completely recover. Quote, it repopulated my gut. I am better today than I was when I was taking those antibiotics before the infection, she said. But unfortunately, once C. diff makes its way into an environment, it's tough to remove due to its ability to make spores. Christina learned this firsthand when her 22-month-old daughter, okay, so her almost 2-year-old fucking daughter.
Oh, no.
Her little baby daughter, Pearl, became ill with C. diff. Literally anyone can get this. It's a 2-year-old little baby.
Oh my God. That's so crazy how it used to be elderly though, only primarily.
Yeah. Right. And then now so it's just any population can get it. It's weird. I mean, but it's becoming resistant to antibiotics, so it's not that weird.
Yeah, and they keep for a long time at least that was like the main.
Yeah. So, quote, a year after my recovery, I gave birth to Pearl. During my pregnancy, we had bleached our home and cleaned it the best we could. We don't know how she got it, but the only thing we can think is that she got it from our house, Christina said. So when I read this, I was thinking her daughter most likely had been carrying around the bacteria or some amount of the bacteria in her body since she was born. And also, because of how we talked about the fecal to oral transplant, mm-hmm. That's how it becomes contagious. Another way would be when you have a baby, it's all butt coming out of your butthole.
Yeah. You know, I want to know what percentage women shit themselves, because I know that that's a thing.
Oh, that is a thing. My mom shit herself when she had my brother. Sorry. Yeah,
I'll be damned.
But when you give birth, you know, there's fluids everywhere. Like it's not crazy. That's probably how that occurred.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then it just finally took over within the 2 years that the baby had been alive. In late 2014, Pearl experienced frequent diarrhea. So the baby experienced frequent diarrhea. Her hair stopped growing, and she became unusually pale. After a series of misdiagnoses, her mom took her to the ER where she received a C. diff diagnosis. She was in full isolation with no food or water for 5 days, just an IV, and she was terrified. After receiving antibiotics and continuing to decline, Pearl's dad took her to Mayo Clinic, the closest hospital that would perform fecal transplantation on a child. The treatment was successful, and today Pearl is a thriving, healthy 6-year-old girl.
Wow, and she was 2 years old when she got the procedure done.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Yeah. So to wrap up,
what form of administration for her as a 2 year old
for the fecal transplant?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. That's if she was a baby getting a little colonoscopy.
I know, poor babies. Mm-hmm. But she's healthy now, so. Christina started a blog and joined the patient support group Antimicrobial Resistance Fighter Coalition. Holy shit, I want to join that. That sounds badass as fuck.
The microbiome project in it in general is fucking dope.
It is so fucking dope. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could have done just an entire episode on C. diff. We could do an entire episode on the microbiome. We could do an entire episode on antibiotic resistance. Like, yeah. This is just so much and so cool.
There's so much that we still don't know about it, too. And I really like, there's several reasons why I wanted to explore specifically fecal transplantation. But it's so new. Like, everything that we're learning is so new, but it's so significant, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think people learning about the microbiome and realizing and discovering how significant it is and how it's been kind of just like pushed to the side, but how like actually mm-hmm. important and how much it actually affects your health, what's going on in your GI, like that is becoming quite clear now, and it's so cool. I feel like there's going to be a lot of revelations like around like, oh, well, if we just keep this part of our body healthy or don't do this, we're going to discover some shit.
Yeah. And what it could mean just individually too, like kind of like the same excitement for genetic counseling is like how like your microbiome is literally yours. Like it's unique.
It's unique to you in the way that like a fingerprint would be, or even your like genetic code.
Yeah. And the fact that literally what you, in a lot of ways, what you eat is what you are. You are what you eat.
Literally. That is the actual, like, should be taken much more literally than it is. So yeah, so she joined this resistance fighter coalition against antimicrobial blah 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 to share her story and educate others about superbugs and antibiotic use. She's also traveled to Washington, D.C. to speak with members of Congress about the importance of superbugs and good stewardship practices. So she is sharing her story, fighting the good fight. I've definitely heard about superbugs throughout my entire education and even now. And it's definitely something that has not been taken as seriously as it should be, like, especially by the government. Shocker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that changes, because clearly, as I stated earlier in this segment, something that used to only affect people with a weakened immune system or senior citizens is now affecting
anybody.
Anybody, literally anybody. Yeah. So now maybe people will pay attention to it.
Because when you first said nursing homes, hospitals, like, that makes sense to me. Like, that's where people go when they're sick.
That's where people go when they're sick. Yeah. And that's where, or nursing homes, for example, is where there's a bunch of people with a weakened immune system.
Yeah. So, like, that makes sense to me. But for it to become now, like, where anybody could get it, like, that's something must have happened in evolution to where that could happen. Or the fucking feds, the government's doing this somehow.
The feds! It's the fucking feds!
I got a thing to say about the FDA that we're going to talk about, but that was good. Okay.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, so that's that. I want to hear about this transplant, bitch.
Okay, let's get into it after I go piss. Okay, so we learned about this disgusting diarrhea-inducing,
very unfortunate
shit show bacteria.
Superbug.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to learn about the actual process and the process of fecal microbial transplantation. But first, I wanted to start with this. I just found so many memes on this. It was just too easy. This entire episode, like I just said a second ago, is too easy. So I'm going to read it off because it's actually pretty funny, I thought. I literally was laughing to myself. Okay, so it's this doctor. He's like, "We need a donor. This man has bad poop in his butt. It needs to be good poop and fast. We need to take your good poop out of your butt and put that poop inside of his butt in place of the bad poop. This will save his life for some reason. I'm a doctor." So that is my segment, and thank you for tuning in.
Okay, so yeah, that meme will be definitely posted because it's probably not that funny on audio.
So I had first heard about this from my cousin Tony, because we were having actually a conversation about...
Who is a registered nurse.
Who's a registered nurse, yeah. And I was actually we were talking about, like, meal prepping and stuff, and more about, like, diet and our thoughts on, like, vegan, like, eating meat. And I just have, like, this... I haven't researched much into it. But I was wondering about how, like, what the effects of, like, I mean, we know that a stressed out, like, cow is going to give you the texture, I guess, of the meat will be different compared to if it's, like, not stressed right before being fucking killed. But I was wondering about, like, the hormonal, I guess, effects of eating, like, cows or really any meat, any animal that's in such, like, a high stress situation right before they eat. Like, does that affect somehow your, you know, mood and whatnot? And so he was the one that let me know that they were already doing this procedure. This conversation happened, like, about 2 years ago, because, like Nicole said, this is fairly new and I just think it's dope. And so this process in it of itself, learning more about it, will hopefully spark some other conversations that I want to jump into at the end. But let's start with defining it. So We have several names for it. Fecal microbial transplantation, or FMT, fecal transplantation, or bacteriotherapy. It is defined by Johns Hopkins, the transfer of stool from a healthy donor into the gastrointestinal tracts for the purpose of treating recurrent C. difficile colitis. Did I say that right? Difficile, which Nicole difficile. Just covered.
Yeah.
So we learned about that. This is the main, I guess, condition that this procedure is used for. So what doing and why and who needs it? Why the fuck would you want to transfer somebody else's shit up your butthole?
Obviously as a last resort, and also because it's literally seems like it's the only like actual cure.
Yeah, it's either you take shit or you keep giving it.
Basically.
I can't pause. Just the mental fuck of being like, okay, so the only way that I can stop shitting my fucking brains out is if I intake shit.
Is if I get some new shit and put it inside of me.
Okay, let's stop being childish at Lila.
I can't.
Okay, so C. diff is the only particular clinical indication for FMT and considered for other clinical indications as part of research study for close monitoring, but it's not likely to happen. So doctors have begun to test this procedure on patients who have, you didn't mention Crohn's disease. You mentioned something completely different, but it also is inflammation
strep
of
throat. Strep throat.
No. No, but they had guessed a much more rare disease.
Oh, fucking cholera.
Yeah. But it's also, so they're also doing research on patients that have multiple sclerosis, obesity, food allergies, and depression, and a bunch of other things that aren't just bacterial related. So that's actually pretty cool. And like I said, what led me here. For ulcerative colitis, there is research that suggests, 15% of patients went into remission. So it's like a pretty successful procedure, but they can't pinpoint why it works for some patients and not for others. So it's still like in the research stage.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool to see some type of results that they're noticing. FMT comes into play after a round of antibiotics, like you had mentioned. And you mentioned that the recurrent rate for C. diff was 20%
It was 20% of diagnosed people with C. diff have a recurring instance of it within 2 to 8 weeks of being treated.
Okay, yeah, I got between 20 to 30. I don't think it was specific to that 2 to 8 weeks, but the gist of what I was seeing was that it's bound to happen again. If you get it one time, you're going to have like multiple episodes of it. And basically FMT, it sounds like initially was like a procedure that was explored post them doing a round of antibiotics first. Whereas now, because of them maybe realizing, as you said, how resistant it is to antibiotics and how stupid I'm not going to say it's stupid, but my reasoning, I think that they could be doing that is because people are coming in such an urgent state. And so they're thinking immediate resolve, at least temporary relief, which it might give, but you're essentially feeding it.
Yeah, 100%.
Because you're also killing off
you're creating its perfect environment that it prefers to thrive in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we're seeing a shift in that is kind of what I was seeing, mm-hmm. you know, from articles compared from 2012 to like more recent. So it is given as an option as opposed to another round of antibiotics. When antibiotics, as we briefly said, kill off too many good bacteria, the digestive tract fecal transplants can help replenish bacterial balance. So it's all about maintaining bacterial balance in your microbiome. And when you're taking antibiotics and trying to cure something else, you're simultaneously also killing off the good bacteria. So it does work in some situations. I feel like antibiotics was introduced as such like a, it was almost like the godly remedy, like the go-to, like, oh shit, like, yeah, okay, this could cure so much now. And we're learning more about, like, okay, maybe not for this.
Yeah.
You know?
Antibiotics work. Mm-hmm. They work so well that bacteria has to find another way to survive, in which they're going through genetic mutations to become resistant to the way that we're treating them or killing them off. They work. Yeah. But yeah, C. diff is a great example of, yeah, that.
Yeah. The dope thing about FMT is that basically it's not about which form of the two as far as cures for C. diff, antibiotics or FMT. It's not about which one's more effective. It's about the fact that antibiotics just has a higher side effect range versus FMT. We're going to get into how safe it is, but it's pretty safe. It's actually really safe. And I think it was just cool to see how it was more of like a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And not.
Well, I think that it's like you said, like it's not that one, or I'm not sure exactly the wording you just used, but basically one is not better than the other. Is that what you said? Or one is not more preferred?
Yeah, as far as the effectiveness.
It's like, I feel like antibiotics, because of the way in which they work and how we mentioned, they have that recurring rate there, in which the fecal matter transplant doesn't, because you're literally receiving, it's like receiving a new body part.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
so a new piece of poo.
It's like
that your body didn't make, someone else made it for you.
Yeah,
someone else's digested McDonald's.
You're not expanding your culinary palate. You're expanding your shit palate. Literally,
yes. You're diversifying your poo.
Exactly.
No poo left behind.
Oh no, bitch. Now we just got water.
All poos matter.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with you there, because apparently poo does save lives. So that is true. And I rest my case.
And I'm now done being immature. For now.
Okay, good. You're not even drinking.
I know. I'm just like this. I'm not sure if I'm more annoying, sober, or drunk. The jury's still out.
How many pieces of chocolate did you just have?
At least 3.
Well, there you have it, folks. She's sugar high. She's caught the bug. So, okay, so I don't think we need to get more into the microbiome. It's definitely a topic that I think we both find interesting. So we're definitely going to have more episodes on that. Generally, the thing to understand is that a fecal transplant can restore your gut's health, bacteria balance, by helping in fighting off infection. It may also help your body resist C. diff in the future. So you used specifically the word diversifying your microbiome, and that's literally why it's helping and basically attacking the C. diff, like bacteria, and strengthening also simultaneously your microbiome, because you're diversifying it. And we know that it's a party in your gut, essentially.
Yes.
And the more ethnic and diverse it is in there, the better.
Yes. And apply this to the world as well.
That's literally how I was thinking. I was like, wow, literally we could learn a thing or two from microbiome.
Gut. We really would. Society would function much better if it was more diversified.
Yeah, actually, we're going to go ahead. I'm going to reach and talk about genes, even with genes. And several aspects of science, I feel like it's proven that diversity works in our favor. It's
Yes. And
when you don't diversify, that's when shit goes wrong.
Yeah. When you do some hillbilly ass inbred shit, we all know what happens then.
Then you get hazardous hicks.
Yes.
Period. Okay. So this is my favorite part. How does the transplant happen? How is it performed? So generally speaking, the treatment involves obtaining stool from a healthy donor and transplanting a processed version of that stool into the patient. The collection of bacteria found in the healthy stool, called the microbiota.
Ooh. That should be a band name.
I like that. I actually really like that.
Yeah, nobody try to take it from us. I know no one will.
Introducing the microbiota. I want to name my next animal Adam with a T.
Oh, my coworker, she has a black pit bull, and his name's Adam.
Oh, that's so cute. I'm not gonna name mine.
Yeah, so too late, bitch.
Oh, if it's not unique, I don't want it.
Just name it microbiota.
So, yeah, microbiota, there we go. Where was I?
Microbiota.
Okay. Microbiota.
Is where you were.
That's where I was. The collection of bacteria found in the healthy stool, or microbiota, repopulate the colon of the patient and essentially crowd out the infectious bacteria. Basically, you're pushing those motherfuckers out. Like, the club's full and the good bacteria is in there, literally kicking the bad bacteria out the club, aka your gut.
No bad vibes.
No bad vibes. Security. Okay. So this is how we reach resolved with C. diff patients, but let's get into the real shitty nitty gritty of the procedure because that's why we're here.
Oh, I'm here for the puns. For the puns, personally.
Oh, I got a few coming up.
Oh, great.
And on that note, I'm going to open my second beer.
Before is it your second or is it your third?
It's my second. I only got two. I should have gotten three.
No. I wasn't saying that. Are you encouraging behavior? No, quite the opposite.
Okay, well, it's going to be a long night anyways. Okay, so the real shitty of this procedure. doctors collect a donor's bowel movement and mix it with a saline solution and then strain it through a coffee filter. This result is a brown liquid that contains the good bacteria. And I know you saw the picture already, and I will have a photo up for you guys.
Okay, hold on. Instagram. Stop. Did you just say that they make... underscore. So essentially, he's making a hot cup of Joe.
Essentially, he is French pressing.
He is French pressing this person's poo.
I guess that would be incorrect. Because that's not draining. French pressing, you're pressing it. And I don't think that you'd want to press it.
Ew. Okay, so he takes... Whose job is this?
The doctors.
No, there
maybe
is a lab.
Maybe that's why for your story, he was like, oh, you got to go to the ER.
Yeah, he's like, I'll do all of that over here. We don't got people to. No, it's, I guarantee
you. I don't have a colonoscoper.
I guarantee you it's like a medical technician in there like fucking doing that shit.
It's probably a medical assistant. Yeah. Maybe,
yeah. Like literally. Work. Okay. So they take the poo, mix it with saline, and then filter it through a coffee filter.
Yeah. So they're basically, filtering out between the liquid and the actual shit.
The liquid and the solid.
They're trying to,
extract.
This is chemistry.
Yes, they're trying to extract.
They're reverse.
Reverse osmosising.
Shit.
Osmosising. Yes.
I just thought of something amazing. We could, if we ever failed at our current career paths, become science teachers, and I think that we'd be great at that.
Oh, I've thought about that so many times.
I would never. Like, if I did, it wouldn't be. I don't know. Lila, stop.
Never say never, huh? Kids are cool. Kids are nice. Kids are our future. Kids are our future.
Okay. Well, so that's what happens. The doctor injects this, the good bacteria. He injects it, she injects it deep into your colon using a long, flexible dildo.
What? Like,
it's not a dildo. It's a tube called a colon.
A syringe?
No, it's called a colonoscope? Colonoscope.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so a colonoscope.
I call it culoscope.
Okay, well.
That's neither here nor there.
Neither makes sense.
A culoscope, well, in Spanish, culo is a butt.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, so culoscope.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. This isn't.
Now you're serious. Okay. Wait, have you been serious this whole time? This is a real thing.
This is a real thing. Culoscope. Go ask your doctor friend if there's such thing as the culoscope.
Okay.
Because there is.
So they inject it using that.
Yes.
Is that what's that one song where he's like culo? Culo.
Pitbull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways. This procedure I don't usually love that takes song. Place. I don't love it either. He said, Nenita tiene
tremendo culo. He's just like ass.
He literally translates to
ass. You've got a tremendously large ass.
There you go. That's the actual translation. More Culo. A colonoscope. Okay. So
I hate this procedure.
This procedure occurs in the hospital. You get medicine and it will help you sleep and you won't feel a thing until you wake up.
Is that the only method of it?
So, no, right on time. Usually performed by colonoscopy and less commonly by nasoduodenal tube. So, we're going to get into the different methods, but the main one is colonoscopy. During the colonoscopy, the culoscope is advanced through the entire colon. Your whole colon is going to feel this procedure. We're ruining medical terminology is what I'm thinking, but that's fine. 100%. As the colonoscope is withdrawn, the donor stool is delivered through the colonoscopy into the colon. So basically, the one form of administration is colonoscopy, and then the other form is nasoduodenal. I'm not saying that right, but it's basically the capsule form. It isn't as widely used, but... You have to swallow it. Like, who was this?
Okay.
Yeah, so it isn't as widely used. It's newer. But it is an actual capsule form. And you have to swallow it. The doctor basically places it in your gut through a long tube.
So basically your options...
It goes in through your nose. So it's not like you're just, like, taking, like, a pill through your mouth. But but still, yeah. So okay. Basically, you got to choose between your nose and your butthole. And to finish with this, this form of horrifying. Administration, you get 15 capsules over 2 days. What's in the capsule, you might ask? You guessed it, donated poop. It's screened, prepared, and then frozen, and then placed in these little capsules. And damn, 15 capsules over 2 days, that's a lot to
that's,
me.
That's, okay, no, yeah.
Just put it on my butt.
Just put it in my butt. Just put it in my butt. It's fine. Like, your choices are to literally swallow 15 shit capsules or take a fucking nap and have them injected up your ass. I'll just do that. The latter.
Yeah.
Just like up your nose or in your butt. Just like, just choose your butt.
Yeah, just, I'm like, what? Okay, wait. I retract my agreement to this conversation.
He said, yeah. Wait, what?
I just heard. Okay, so you will need to follow a liquid diet. This is for the colonoscopy, followed by an enema or laxative preparation the night before. So
you gotta clear
Each sound like you're gonna do more than just the procedure in and of itself.
There's some prep either way.
Yeah, and then also for the colonoscopy, you're gonna need like a booty cushion, and it literally says that you're gonna just, you know, want to chill the rest of the day.
You're just gonna want to sit.
Mild discomfort, bloating, gas, low grade fever.
Honestly, so worth it though to be cured of this horrific illness.
Yeah, I can't imagine this. Again, like going back to like, okay, so in order for me to stop shitting myself, I have to put shit in me. Also, my options are literally take pills of shit down my nose or...
What is with the nose thing? Why can't you just swallow them?
I don't know. Would you want to?
It's like you're going to smell it, sniffing it up your nose, or you're going to taste it. It's like, what's the diff?
It has to be something with the form of administration. Like, as far as... I don't know what the difference would be with between the mouth and the nose.
So
is it easier to like access? No, it's the same. I would think it's harder to access.
Yeah, it seems like doing too much. I was literally thinking, and I'm really glad that you're teaching me about this, because I have known about fecal transplants, but in my mind, this is what I thought.
That they open up your stomach?
I thought.
And then just transfer the...
I thought that they cut like a piece of your, or the donating person, they cut a piece of their intestines that is filled with poo out and literally like put it inside and like sew it up and connect it to the other person's intestines. That's what I thought. Like a fucking sausage.
With the innovative technology, and by that I mean, I see Grey's Anatomy got equipment that we must have in real life.
Like, that show's real, yeah, like, yes.
I mean, like, I just feel like we, or say even if we were, I guess it would take some time to be able to have that available for everyone type of thing.
Way more invasive and harder than it needs to be. Like, for them to just inject it or to swallow a pill, like, that's probably much easier and better.
Really? Because that's what I thought too. I thought initially, like when Tony said this, I literally pictured like how you would get a C-section, but just transferring poop.
Yeah, or like any type of organ transplant.
Yeah.
Like, if you need a new heart, you don't, like, swallow a pill of hearts. Like, you fucking get a new heart.
It has to be probably something because of it being, like, we're talking about the microbiome, like, your microbiome, yeah. Maybe.
Well, your poo is not an organ, so I guess that's where it's different.
Yeah, in my head, it's like, why can't you just, like, still transfer that? But I don't know.
Thank God we're not doctors.
Yeah, thank God nobody listened to us.
They're like, we're like about to do it. Like, I thought you said you wanted me to transfer it.
We're like, wait.
They're like, not like that.
I mean, that's what I pictured. That's okay, what I pictured. How safe is it? Success rate? Any Hollywood stars doing this? The third question, I don't know. But I can answer the first two.
I'm sure they are. They like to do fucking everything. Make it cosmetic.
If I made a whole like push, or anybody made a whole like push on fecal transplantation, you will never die. Yeah. Find out who your man cheated on you with. Get a fecal transplant.
I am about 99% positive that Gwyneth Paltrow has had this done multiple times. She's Why? Bonkers. She's bonkers okay. as fuck.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, it's safe. It's really safe. As a matter of fact, there's only been one person that has died thus far from this procedure. And according to an NBC News article published in 2019, there is a patient that actually did die from receiving a fecal transplant, which had contained drug-resistant bacteria. So basically what happened was that two patients went to the same doctor. Both became more ill post the procedure, and only one of them had died. Quote, the FDA noted that the donor stool had not been tested for the drug-resistant bacteria called extended spectrum beta-lactamase, ESBL. It produces E. coli prior to transplantation, but this is like the dangerous type of E. coli, not the safe lab strain that we use in our school ink.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to get through this. So,
who fucking dropped the ball?
So after
somebody better have got fired.
Yeah. After this happened, the stored stool was tested, and like, so it's for sure that the stool, the donor stool, had this bacteria. And
it was contaminated, yeah.
Yeah, it was contaminated. So nothing to do with the procedure in and of itself. There's nothing dangerous about it. It's safe. The dangerous part is the fucking FDA, because this would be a case of, as you said, who dropped the ball, improperly following standardized procedure, but there is none, because the FDA, basically, it sounds like they still to this day don't have a protocol, like a standardized protocol for it.
How in the actual fuck does a procedure like this get past the FDA without having regulations on what needs to be tested in the donor stool?
This was a shock for me to find out, and I literally actually found a Harvard article from 2020 where this is, I mean, this is like a thing.
I saw the instance of the person dying. I didn't look into it, but that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So they basically have like supported guidelines.
Yeah.
There's guidelines that support this procedure, but it's still considered investigational, and it's not currently approved by the FDA. I mean, at the same time, we have supplements, which isn't approved by the FDA either. And
yeah.
I guess it's not that shock. I guess it's shocking to me because it's an actual medical procedure.
But if you think about it, it's not like a chemical compound that's being like synthesized in a lab, or like it's literally someone's fucking shit going into someone else's. So it's like,
but why can't you make a protocol?
Organic material.
Why can't you make a protocol for that? Like how they're doing it?
Yeah,
like,
100%. Or whose responsibility because is then, that?
Well, the FDA would be like, okay, these are the tests that you have to like follow.
Yeah, but
and
but
then
at
that
what
would
point
have been one of the tests.
At what point is that? Yeah, sure. But at what point also is that the doctor's responsibility as well, or the hospital's? Like
why aren't they doing it? Or what do
they
you
have to order some sort of, there's no way that they're just like, oh, there has to be guidelines for like who the donor can be. And
yeah, there is. So this being this particular case of that one person that did die, and this doctor who, although it sounds like there's no maybe responsibility that they were putting onto him, like reading the article, it didn't seem like there was blame put on him, at least in the article. But clearly, how is that not one of the tests that you run from the donor sample? Because there are guidelines that we're going to get into, and it's like,
I'm thinking. Maybe it just wasn't on the list of things, and then they're like, oh,
add it to the list. Well, we all know that adding things to lists out here, don't fucking.
That was at the bottom of the to-do list. Okay. Well, moving on. What are the guidelines?
Yeah, so that happened. Success rate, real quick, to get that out of the way, is 91 to 93%. This is from the National Institute of Health. I also saw this Canadian, like on a kind of side note, a Canadian study that compared the effectiveness between the forms of administration because they were trying to figure out why in their article it was 85 to 90% effective. And the difference between the two articles, the National Institute of Health was from 2012. So the Canadian study was more recent, 2017. But ultimately that case study showed that they were both equally effective. Okay. So, but success rate is pretty high, I think, especially when that sounds like, again, the shift in like antibiotics being the first resort and now it being second and hopefully at some point not a resort at all.
And it seems like, I don't, or maybe you just haven't mentioned yet, but it seems like there's not really any like horrible side effects besides death.
No.
If it's 9 out of 10 times will work. And if it doesn't work, then
you just have somebody else's shit inside your stomach.
Yeah. And you're still sick.
You're still shitting.
You're still sick.
Well, the potential patients and donors, what they need to know is donors should not have had any antibiotic exposure in the past 6 months. They should not be immunocompromised. They should not have had any tattooing or body piercing in the last 6 months. Any history of drug use. There you go. I'm out. And then
I'm out too, but because of the tattooing. Bitch.
I could count a number of these things.
Also, I'm on antibiotics right now.
Again? You were just on antibiotics.
I know.
Less than a month ago.
I'm literally like, if I fucking get this, like, I'll literally get a fecal transplant.
Well, shit. Yeah. Let me know how that goes, and then we can have you on our My Medical Mystery episode. You also should not be incarcerated or have a history of incarceration. You should not have traveled recently to endemic areas, and any chronic GI disorders such as inflammatory bowel disease is definitely going to throw you out. So I don't even know why you're here. And then
oh my God.
And then a potential donor has to also get screened for like other common sense things, blood tests, stool tests. They're checking for hepatitis A, B, C, HIV, parasites.
XYZ.
You also have C. diff because XYZ and
PDQ.
And that's the end of the episode. And then also, donors should be informed that their insurance company might hold them financially responsible. Don't come here looking for a check from your insurance company just because you want to donate shit.
What? Are you serious?
I mean, that doesn't even make sense. What? Like, you don't get paid to go donate blood.
Okay, but you get paid hella money for giving away your eggs, but...
Okay, that's making that's life. That's different. Starting a family.
I see now after I said that out loud how it's different.
I don't understand how my shit isn't worth anything, but my eggs are.
But also, I thought it was really funny, fucking sidebar. You can get paid so much money for donating your eggs, but guys will just get paid like maybe like $20 for donating like sperm, if that.
Good. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it is good. It's just hella funny. It's because our eggs are so much more valuable than their little fucking semen.
Yeah. Yeah, we've covered this. We don't need men.
Eggs are rare. Sperms are 100,000 a gram.
Just keep them in. Just keep them in.
They're just plentiful.
On your side note, I've got my own side note. Have you ever seen videos of seahorses making love? Ew. And also the process of it is funny.
And also dope. Seahorses, the male carries the baby, yeah. Is pregnant.
Yeah, that's why
I'm so here for that.
No, but it's really cool because they actually release their sperm into the water and then the sperm when the female places her egg in his pouch or whatever, the sperm like finds its way back in there and like gets it going.
Okay.
Okay, so other than that, all you got to know is that most stool donors are family members or friends, but they don't have to be.
Wait, so just checking. I can't make money.
Oh my God. Okay.
I can or cannot make money off of donating my poo.
We're going to bookmark this. I got a possible resolution. You're just going to have to relocate is all.
Okay.
Done. And stool donors and their poop are carefully screened. We know that. We said that. And blah, blah, blah. We're done with that. Okay, so.
Okay, question.
Yes.
If you had to get a fecal transplant, who would you choose to be your donor out of your friends and family?
Oh, God. I was like, why'd you limit to? Honestly, it would have to be the healthiest, happiest person I know.
Who's that?
And I don't know anyone.
What? What about me?
Keep your depressive.
You know manic. How much I eat. Fucking, I just ate three chocolates. And I ate McDonald's earlier today.
Well, I was like, why does it have to be? Okay, like, it's just crazy. Like I'd want somebody. It's kind of like when you want to, like, people are scared about genetic edit or gene editing and the future of, are people going to want these preferred genes now? And if we can figure out how to do it, then, you know, it becomes politics. Like, with microbiome, like, I think there is, like, a benefit to, like, I'd want it to be the most mentally stable person, and maybe it can even me out.
I would say you'd be best off probably with your youngest brother.
Yeah, that would make sense. Mm-hmm. If I chose a family member, who would you choose? I feel like one of your sisters. Which of the two? Rock, paper, scissors? Mariah's a very
popular person. She eats so much spicy food, and she would be out because she literally, I'm pretty sure, has sorry for putting your shit out there.
What?
She eats so much spicy food. I'm pretty sure she has acid reflux too. No, not her.
No. I can do what I can do every day spice wise is like salsas and like tapatio with everything, literally everything. Like I
would probably choose. Sadly enough, I think I'm the most healthy out of all my friends and family. Which isn't saying.
You eat one meal a day. Much.
I eat one meal a day. It's true.
See, because you limited it to somebody that we would know. If it was somebody that we didn't know, I'll take
who's Jennifer Lopez.
Beyonce's. Okay.
Perfect. You heard her music? Girl's music? What the fuck? She's mad as fuck.
Maybe I don't want her pooping me. I still love you, Jessie Reyes. Call me back.
Back. Respond.
Okay. This is my favorite question. I thought that it was a question that any of us would have. And to our listeners, this one is for you. Can you do fecal transplant on your own? Actually, this is the part where we tell you that you can. You can get your own Transplant My Shit kit mailed directly to you for the low price point of your literal shit.
My God.
We've teamed up. It's a Sickness has teamed up with Mr. Hanky from South Park.
I didn't sign off on this.
Okay, no. I don't know why, but on several platforms where...
Wait, is this a real thing?
This is not a real thing. We did not launch our own shit kit.
No, but is there a shit kit?
There's no shit kit. No.
Okay.
No. This it's what I why I even put this question in there is because it was a question I kept seeing on platforms. Like in the end of the of all the serious questions, it's like, oh, and then can you do it on your own? No. As you heard, that one person that died because of
right.
You're not test. You are you also going to test? Yeah, you don't want to do it alone.
That would not be the craziest thing I've ever seen, though.
Well, bath salts and.
Bath salts.
People consume bath salts. And they get crazy.
Yeah. But those are like drugs, not like actual bath salts.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Well, there's like.
Lysol was an actual thing. Not Lysol.
The Tide Pods.
Yeah.
The Tide Pods were also Trump. In the Trump era.
Anything in the Trump era. God,
what has been going on in the past 8 years? Holy fuck. Get me out of here.
I don't even want to get into it. Okay, but it's hella funny because you know who would have a shit kit?
Who?
Josiah Zehner. The guy that I kind of stan, but I don't. I just make fun of him. But like the guy that injected the biotech geek.
Oh, the psycho.
That injected himself. He's like, yes, you can make your own COVID vaccine.
Oh, no, he would 100%.
For the price of $19.99.
He probably already has.
He moved to Texas, and I don't want to move to Texas anymore because everyone's moving to Texas. Literally everyone is moving to Texas.
Also, they just had like a fucking weird snowstorm blizzard.
Okay, I'm...
why would you...
So, yeah, in conclusion, don't transfer your shit into somebody else's.
Don't try this at home.
Don't at all. I'm going to link as one of our sources this article from lifespan.org, and there's common questions, more questions that you can get answers to there. Because, okay, this goes to the point I was saying earlier, if you'd like to relocate to Medford, Massachusetts, there's an article where it states that you can make $13,000 a year by selling your poop. So any one of our listeners from Medford, Massachusetts, you can literally sell your poop and make $13,000 a year.
Ah, so it's worth some money.
It is worth some money. So
it's not very much.
It isn't. But I mean, just for shitting, I think is easy money.
That's over $1,000 a month. That's a side hustle. That's a side hustle.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I'm sold on it.
I might look into it. This image that I got from that site, from that page that said you could sell your poop and make $13,000, comparing the size of poop. And to the number of people you can treat.
That's amazing.
So, 50 grams of shit.
That sounds like a lot.
Can save.
That sounds like a lot.
Can help treat one person. This is the serious part of the episode where we're like,
oh,
you're playing the black background music and it's like the small violin.
How many pounds is 50 grams?
250 grams of absolute shit can save 5 number of people.
Beautiful, beautiful. And also 50 grams is only 0.1 pounds, so it sounds like a lot. It's not. Okay.
How much is 450 grams
okay, let's see.
In pounds? Well, 50.
450 that's gonna grams, be... math. That's almost a pound. Okay, next question. How many pounds is the average... poop
shit
how
in America many? Because we shit differently out here.
Yeah, we sure do. How many pounds is the average poop? Does the average person poop? Oh, the average poop weighs 1/4 pound to 1 pound. Oh my god.
Okay, see, now I get why they want you to weigh yourself in the morning or...
Before you shit, shower, shave.
Eat. Shit, shower, before. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's enlightening.
I went down the rabbit hole with all these memes, and there's literally Gwen Stefani. She said, uh-huh, this is my shit.
Ew. Wow.
Yeah. And then there's one where it says the Human Microbiome Project says that the human body has 100 trillion microscopic life forms living in it. And it's a bunch of these bacteria looking up like, you call this living?
I can't.
So that's that.
I'm highly disturbed.
We'll see you when we come back from this break. There we go.
There okay, we well. Go. Okay, well, I really hope we didn't scare anybody off, but if you're a true geek like us, hopefully you found that fascinating. I definitely did.
So I didn't dive into, like, how I had said that I was in very interested in basically knowing, like how depression was one of the diseases that's being tested on, like this procedure is being tested on. There is a recent case study that I found that basically says all studies found a decrease in depressive and anxiety-like symptoms and behaviors resulting from the transplantation of healthy microbiota. So I'm really excited for the future of FMT.
Also, sign me up.
And so on that note, hope you learned something new today. Don't have a shit show, but if you do, you might be able to get paid for it in Massachusetts.
Just look at the silver lining. Protect yourself by refraining from eating ass if you can.
Yep, that's definitely one of the ways to ensure that you don't get C. diff.
Yeah. Your
brains out. Until the next shit show. Stay have a good one.
Sick with it. Bye. Bye. FecalTransplant.com.
Did you know that your poop can save a life today? Call 1-800.
Simba, be quiet. I'm working. Yeah, yeah. When I hit it, I'ma kill it, I'ma get it like that she wrote.